there is a longtime solar physicist at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, who has had a lot of disagreements with Dr. Nandy's work in a very nice way. He's very good-humored. He is Dr. David Hathaway, Ph.D., astrophysicist in the solar physics group at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Hathaway argues, quote, in his model, Dr. Nandy wanted the meridional flow to be fast at the beginning of the last cycle and slow at the end. Well, I observed that it was, in fact, the other way around. It was a slow at the beginning and fast at the end, close quote. So now we have both a computer model issue and the hard facts of what did happen on the sun, and how do you match computer models to outcomes if you're not absolutely matching the data from the sun? And that is now a current controversy. Dr. Hathaway says the historic record shows as the sunspot number doubles, the number of flares double. But he is convinced that the solar cycle 24 maximum is going to be small, perhaps the smallest in 200 years, he says.
I hope he's right.
Even as the sun unleashed an X2.2 flare on February 14th, 2011, the largest solar flare since December 6, 2006. And then on March 9 to 10, there was one big region on the sun that produced six M-class flares, all within 24 hours. They're much less than X flares. But nevertheless, the solar flare record goes back to around 1975, and those six closely spaced M-class flares are exceptional in the record. In fact, it may not have happened. They're still trying to find that out. Recently, I talked with Dr. Hathaway about his disagreement with Dr. Nandy and why he is so confident that solar cycle 24 maximum will be only half the size of solar cycle 23. Here now is Dr. David Hathaway from NASA Marshall Space Flight Center.
Now that we're 2 years into the cycle, I have a technique that follows the rise in the sunspot number and fits a curve through it, plus feeds in information from the polar fields and from the geomagnetic activity, and it's that prediction that it keeps dropping month by month as I come to rely more and more on what's the sunspot number actually doing. That number has continued to drop to the extent that in the last couple months it's dropped low enough that you have to go back to about 1815, 1816 to find a similar size sunspot cycle.
Meaning that it's going into a solar max, but there are so few sunspots in relationship to other sunspot cycles.
Yes, the one we just went through, cycle 23, was just a little bit bigger than average. This one, at best, is going to be half that big.
If it has half the number, then what do you expect the solar max to be like in 2012 to 2013?
As far as the number of flares, the number of geomagnetic storms will be proportionally less. We know that the flares are caused by twisted magnetic fields in sunspots. It depends upon how twisted those fields are. We had another sunspot group about a month ago that produced the first X-class flare. These are 10 times bigger than the M-class flares. Produced the first X-class flare in 4 years. And it was obvious when that sunspot group erupted through the surface that it was twisted and angry, and it was going to do that. So whether the sunspot region produces flares and how many it produces depends upon the details of the magnetic field within that sunspot, in particular how stressed those fields are. The one that produced the six flares in one day, it was particularly twisted, and the flows on the surface and under the surface were such that it continued to get twisted, and it just kept releasing a flare, releasing a flare, releasing a flare all day long. That day was exceptional. In fact, here in the building, we have some gamma ray astronomers that use instruments on the Fermi satellite to look at gamma ray bursts and distant galaxies and so forth. But they also, their new instrument is more sensitive to the lower energy gamma rays, which can be produced in solar flares. They've actually visited me twice saying, what's going on here? The sun keeps swamping our data. Is this going to continue to cause this problem? And I tried to assure them that I really think that this one region was exceptional, there will be days like that, but this region will pass and we'll go back into more quiet stages and others will pop up and we'll have another flurry and so forth. This is the way the sunspot cycle works.
Well, do you have a computer simulation that is projecting, at least based on your data and your theories of the sun, about what is going to happen in this solar max?
To me, it looks like we're going to go through maximum in the mid to latter half of 2013, and that the level of activity on average, including flares and sunspots and geomagnetic activity, will be about half what it was back in 2000 when we went through the last maximum.
Coming back to the Indian Professor Nandi's computer simulation and his paper in Nature, it sounds as if the two of you are coming at the sun with a conclusion of opposite data having to do with the meridional flow.
Not opposite. His is a theoretical model. Mine is data. We do agree on one thing. We do agree that the meridional flow and variations in the meridional flow are key to producing variations in the sizes of the sunspot cycle. But in his model, he wanted the meridional flow to be fast at the beginning of the last cycle and slow at the end. I observed that, in fact, it was the other way around. It was slow at the beginning and fast at the end.
Isn't there a deeper question, though, that neither Dr. Nandi or you or any solar physicist to date really understands what causes the meridional flows to change speeds that can cause either lots of sunspots or minimum sunspots?
Damn, you're good. Indeed, that's excellent. What, as you say, causes the changes in the meridional flow?
Yeah.
We have ideas, but they're kind of nebulous at the moment. As you produce sunspots, they change the meridional flow themselves. So there's this, what we call in physics, this nonlinear interaction between the meridional flow and the sunspots that can easily lead to fairly complicated behavior. We haven't worked out the details as far as exactly how does this work. Does that slowdown depend on how big the sunspots are, where they are? We're actively working on that. But there does seem to be a link. Where the sunspots are, they produce a flow towards them from the higher latitudes coming equatorward towards them, from the low latitudes heading poleward towards them. That's part of why the meridional flow changes over the cycle.
Is it a chicken and egg mystery?
Yeah, a little bit.
Which comes first, the sunspots, and then the effect on the meridional flow, or the other way around?
I really believe that that's, in some sense, the case. The two are intimately linked. And we need to understand those linkages. I think by doing that with previous data and with the new data that's coming in from the Solar Dynamics Observatory, I think I'm hoping that in the next few years we'll get a good handle on this.
Well, recently the Pentagon issued a warning that in this solar max of cycle 24, that there could be a coronal mass ejection from the sun that could be large enough to fry one or two or three critical satellites, take them out of operation, and that this would be a threat to our national security.
That statement's correct. There could be a coronal mass ejection that does that. The likelihood of that happening is about half of what it was 10 years ago during the last cycle maximum. Furthermore, we now have monitoring systems in space to give us a heads up when it's coming, and satellite operators know of this problem. They've known for decades of this problem, and they will design systems to try to help circumvent the problems that do arise. And yeah, it could be that bad, but the likelihood of something like that happening goes in direct proportion to the number of sunspots on the sun. And sure, the possibility's there, but the probability is less than it was during the last cycle.